Happy Monday, guys. Welcome to the pod. It's Emmanuel. It's the Stretch Goose Podcast. And over the weekend, I checked the stat sheet, and I just want to start off by thanking each and every one of you that has subscribed on Podcast Addict, specifically. I got a lot of support there over the weekend. Thank you all for jumping on it. Thank you all for listening. Thank you all for being as engaged as you guys can be in this crazy world through, you know, the commutes and all that, you know, to work and night shift, day shift, whatever country you're from and however that stuff shakes out. Just thank you all for doing it. And tell a friend and keep it going, you know. Like it, share it, subscribe to it. Write a review, 5 stars preferred, specifically Apple Podcast, because that gets it, the algorithms going a little bit better there. But even on Podcast Addict, you can leave reviews and make it more visible. So thank you guys for doing that. And where this week is going to be an interesting week, because as we all know, over the weekend, the Tiki Talkie app was banned, and there's a lot of people going banana sandwich over it. A lot of people who've made a living on it in America, and they're jumping over to Red Note. And I know there's been a lot of coverage on it, but I have a three-parter potentially that I'm working on that you'll hear throughout the week, just talking about China in general, from the cost of living to the housing to the ghost cities to the medical care. It's all coming, more than likely sometime at the end of the week, because it's a lot to get to. It's a lot to run through, and I'm going to cut it into threes and kind of try to be as deep dived as I possibly can. As anybody can tell by listening to me, I'm still stuffed up and congested and exhausted. So the research is probably not going to be as bullet pointy. I might read verbatim some of these articles, but I'll cite them. I will do my best, as they say, to give credit where credit is due on the information, and try to paint a picture that contradicts what is going on social media with a lot of these youngsters jumping on and talking about how awesome China is. So what are your thoughts on that? You know, what do you think? Is China really awesome? Is their system great? Let me know in the comments below, and I'll read some at the end of the week as a rebuttal if it turns out to be. But let's get to the business at hand. I want to get into because I am a Kansas City Chiefs fan, and I want to get into this game a little bit over the weekend. And I understand there was some pissing and moaning from guys like Dave Portnoy, who throws his money away at the gambling ring, talking about how the NFL is rigged, talking about how the calls are all in favor of Patrick Mahomes. Then you got, you know, the Houston Texans coaching staff and players talking about how, you know, it's us against the refs, it's us against everybody, you know what it is when we come in here, yada, 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 yada. And then, of course, you know, Ryan Clark at the post game also decided to chime in and say, you know, when these calls happen, it puts you behind the eight ball and you have to play even more perfect, et cetera, et cetera. Here's the thing. Here's my thing on this. If the NFL is rigged, if the NFL is setting things up like everybody thinks, then I gotta say, they really go to great lengths to do it. Because you would have to understand that there are thousands of people in each organization working at various levels, from the front office to the scouting department to the coaching staff to the players. You would have to sit there and really, really make sure that everything is buttoned up. and you would have to really, really get into it in a deep dive to make sure everybody is on it. And it's not like the WWE. The WWE is a completely scripted television show where they might have about 1,000 people total. It might be even more than that. You guys are more than welcome to correct me if you're a wrestling nut. And it's very much an enclosed, it's a closed up ecosystem in wrestling. Not many people know what's going on. It doesn't get really too far outside the initial matches and storylines. They have separate writers, but in order for it to go at the level that people continue to claim in the NFL, it would have to be insanely CIA level. That's number one. Number two, if it is that rigged, then they really did pay a couple of bucks to the Houston Texans kicker to get a kick blocked, to get a kick missed, and to miss an extra point. Now, I don't know about you, but that's at least 5 points right off the board right there. I know that that's probably got something to do with it. Sure, they probably paid that guy. I'm also most certainly going to assume that they paid off the Houston Texans offensive line. I'm sure Roger Goodell called him and said, I need you to give up 8 sacks. I want C.J. Stroud beaten to a pulp, limping all the way off the field every single series. Because that is going to make for great television. I also would like you guys to allow not only a couple of scores, but I need you to jog around the goal line while the punter runs out of bounds to fuck millions of gambling addictions out there in the world. I need you guys to do that. I'm sure Roger Goodell knows to do all of that. And I also think he needs to call the officials and say, I don't care how crazy this is, but if there is a slight touch of the helmets on only Patrick Mahomes, then we need to throw the flag. If there is a hip drop tackle, no matter how phantomy it might be, we probably should not throw that flag. Oh, and I want you to throw the flag when he falls to the ground as a runner and they, miss and hit each other. Throw the flag in it. I mean, do you guys get where I'm going with this? How ridiculous this entire thing sounds? I mean, let's be honest here. Yes, I agree that the roughing the passer penalty was borderline. Like, if I was the official, I wouldn't have thrown the flag. Just be clear. And I am a Kansas City Chiefs fan. So let's put that out there. Full disclosure. I wouldn't have thrown the flag. Because it's not egregious enough to be considered roughing the passer. Also, that roughing the passer may or may not have dictated the game anyway, because it was so early in the game and it was 3-3. Plenty of opportunities for the Houston Texans to do their damn job and make their field goals and their extra points and not let anything get blocked. That's also on the menu. That's also on the, put that out there. Menu, however you want to say it. Also, that sliding fall down hit thing, I wouldn't have thrown that flag regardless. I don't care who the quarterback is, because I think once you leave the pocket, you don't get a get out of jail free card and you slide on the floor. No, you're a runner. You get hit. That's the name of the game. It's called tackle football for a reason. Having said that, this is similar to basketball. There are players that will get calls no matter how borderline or marginal it might be. You see that with LeBron James. You saw it with Michael Jordan. You see it in the NFL when Tom Brady was quarterback. Anytime, once the rules were established, anytime they got within an inch of his kneecap because of Brian Pollard, shout out to that guy, awesome safety, because of him and injuring Tom Brady's knee, There's a rule saying you can't hit them down there. Excuse me. So anytime they got within that space, they would throw the flag. And you couldn't review that. And that was the Tom Brady rule. Same thing with the tuck rule. Tom Brady set the stage in some of this himself. And he would take advantage of it. He would force the situation to where he would have marginal contact on the helmet, things like that. And he would complain, and sometimes he would get the flag. So this is nothing. This isn't crazy as people are making it out to be. And if and as far as guys like Mike Portnoy bitching about losing some money, don't, you know, my response is pretty simple. Don't gamble. Turn off the TV. Don't watch an ounce of football ever. If you're going to be that kind of a bitch, just don't do it. That's just my thing. And that's kind of my take on the entire BS over the Kansas City Chiefs game. Because also, even though it, for the most part, led to a score, that sliding hit, the Texans still had a shot. They were only down, I believe it was eight points at that time. And then their kicker fucking dick move, can't make a kick. And then, of course, they couldn't protect C.J. Stroud for some odd reason. I'm sure they all got paid handsomely to get out of the way and allow that to happen. I don't know. That's just my thing. You guys agree or agree to disagree? Drop a comment. Let me know what you thought about that game. Now, on to the good stuff. Joe Biden did a thing. Somehow there was a 28th Amendment ratified and nobody knew about it. And if you did know about it, you didn't know it was on in the actual Constitution. Well, if you open the Constitution today, it's not there. If you open up the Constitution, it's not there. There is no 28th Amendment. But this is what he did. Here is a statement, January 17th, President Big Joe, because he's still president, even though Monday, today, he won't be. There's an inauguration going on. I'm sure that's why he did this. But on January 17th, Joe Biden said this in a statement. I have supported the Equal Rights Amendment for more than 50 years, and I have long been clear that no one should be discriminated against based on their sex. We as a nation must affirm the Protect Women's Fully Equality once and for all. On January 27th, the Commonwealth of Virginia in 2020 became the 38th state to ratify the Equal Rights Amendment. The American Bar Association has recognized the Equal Rights Amendment has cleared all necessary hurdles to be formally added to the Constitution as the 28th Amendment. I agree with the American Bar that with leading legal constitutional scholars that the Equal Rights Amendment has become part of our Constitution. It is long past time. We recognize the will of the American people in keeping my oath and duty to Constitution and country. Sure, Joe. I affirm that I believe in what 3/4 of the states have ratified. The 28th Amendment is the law of the land, guaranteed all Americans equal rights and protections under the law, regardless whether or not they are a boy or a girl or a transgender, boyish girl, him, here, there, blah, 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 blah. So, you're asking yourself this amazing question. How the fuck did that happen? Well, kids, I gotta say, I'm gonna tell you. This amendment was proposed way back in the time machine. Way back in the time machine. In the 60s. And it was passed by Congress in 1972. Like all constitutional amendments, it needed to be ratified by 38 states, at least. Since then, 38 states have, in some form or another, ratified it. The final state was Virginia in 2020. But what is the issue? Why is it not there? Well, there was a deadline issue. Congress initially passed the amendment with a 7-year deadline for states to ratify. Congress later extended the deadline by 3 years to 1982, but the Equal Rights Amendment still came up 3 states short. The three additional states came much later. Oh my gosh. Ugh, man, this nose is a motherfucker. Okay. Some, like Biden, have argued that neither of those things matter. They say the deadline doesn't really apply and that states can't legally rescind ratifications. Ipso facto, they say it has satisfied the requirements. And that's not a total fringe or completely crazy idea. So, this thing came out in the 60s. Congress passed it in 72, but they said we can't put it in the books until the states ratify it. You got a time, you got a clock on this, 7 years. They could not get no more than 35 states with an extension into 1982. Since 1982, 3 states have ratified it up until the point of 2020, but the deadline had expired, which put the amendment in fucking limbo. So, For the entire administration, the entire Biden administration, Big Joe Biden didn't give a shit about this amendment. He never talked about it. He never brought it up in pressers. I don't remember it. And if you guys do, by all means, comment below. Let me know what the fuck happened. That way I can get some knowledge too. Of course, this is an amendment that has been drowning in the courts because of the time limit. Now, Joe Biden says that the time limit doesn't matter and they can't rescind ratification anyway. But here's the thing. Federal judges have repeatedly ruled in ways that suggest the deadline is valid and in one case that a state can rescind its vote to ratify. While there might not be much that is totally definitive from the Supreme Court, the rulings we do have tilt strongly against Joe Biden's stupid idea. Most notably, even those who might seem disposed to this argument haven't even adopted it. The Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg herself, an advocate of women's rights, suggested in 2020 that the argument does not make sense. Even the biggest activist in the Supreme Court to women's rights did not buy the bullshit. God rest her soul, but that's kind of that in itself kind of punches Joe in the face here. Now, I'm reading a lot of this, by the way. I apologize, guys. I'm not on the ball today. This is the Washington Post article I'm referencing, discussing the 28th Amendment. And of course, the whitehouse.gov is where I got the statement from. So moving on. She says there is too much controversy about latecomers like Virginia long after the deadline. Plus, a number of states have withdrawn ratification. So if you count a latecomer on the plus side, how can you disregard states that said we changed our minds? Even this part, this is the part that is even more irritating about what Joe is doing here. His own Justice Department declined to take the position. A 2022 advisory opinion from the Justice Department's legal counsel largely stood by another such opinion from the Trump administration saying that the amendment is not ratified. Biden's move might seem to be a last-ditch effort to apply pressure to the archivist of the United States to certify and publish this amendment. So far, Joe Biden is doing this as a fuck you or something. I don't know what this is other than dumb and stupid, kind of like his COVID mandates that got struck down in the courts. Like, it's like throwing shit at a wall just to see what would happen. It's insane. Of course, here is a quote from David E. Pons and Thomas P. Schmidt, who wrote in the Columbia Law Review in 2021. One of the very few propositions of the article law, my Roman numerals are fucked, but it's Article V. You know who it is. I'm just going to refer to it as an article. That historical practices has settled is that the president has no legal role in proposing an amendment to the states. In light of this practice, which dates back to the Bill of Rights, it is odd to think that the president would play any sort of significant role in the conclusion of the process. It is odder still to think that such a role would be played by subordinate executive officers, such as the Archivist of the United States. Now, what the fuck is happening, right? Well, I have something that has really caught my attention. And this is the Speaker of the House talking about one of those moments that he was involved in with the president. And it is a shocking, shocking thing here that occurred. Here we go.
I do stand by it, and I say this without any personal animus at all. I mean, in some ways, I actually kind of feel sorry for Joe Biden. I mean, he's in the twilight years of his life. He is not, obviously, has not been in charge for some time. And I know this by personal observation, and now the whole world knows it. And it's been very, very concerning to me over the last, year and a half since I've had this position.
Can you tell us a story when you say personal observation?
It's public now because the Wall Street Journal got it and put it on the front page. But January a year ago, almost exactly a year ago, I became Speaker in October 2023, and there were all sorts of big national security concerns and everything going on, and I started requesting a meeting with the president because, I'm kind of old school, I'm a constitutional law guy. Speaker of the House should be able to talk to the president, especially in times of great national interest and calamity. But they wouldn't let me meet with him, and his staff kept giving me excuses. This went on for like 8 or 9 weeks. I'm sorry, Mr. Speaker, he doesn't have time. What are you talking about? I'm second in line of the presidency. He has time. I need to talk to him. I can't say the classified parts, but we had some big, big national concerns at the time that I was losing sleep over. Finally, I just went to the Hill Press Corps and I said, the president is not being allowed to meet with the speaker. There's a problem. So they started putting pressure on him. Long story short, they finally relented. They invited me to the White House. I show up and I realize it's actually an ambush because it's not just me and the president. It's also Kamala Harris, Chuck Schumer, Hakeem, the CIA director, everybody. And then, so I walked in the Oval and, I know what this is. This is they're going to hotbox the speaker on Ukraine funding. That's what it was. This is probably third week of January. We sit down, we're in the midst of it, and the whole conversation, and I'm going, we don't need to have this conversation. The president reaches over just like this. We're sitting in the right next to the fireplace in the Oval, and he grabs my arm and he says, the speaker and I just need a couple minutes together. Would y'all just leave us alone? And I looked up on the faces of some of the staff standing around the wall, and they're like, no, he did it. So he called it. He's the commander-in-chief. So everybody leaves, and he and I are standing awkwardly in the middle of the Oval Office right over the rug by that coffee table. And I said, Mr. President, thanks for the moments. This is very important. I got some big national security things I need to talk to you about that I've heard and I think you know, and what do we do? But first, real quickly, Mr. President, can I ask you a question? I cannot answer this from my constituents in Louisiana. Sir, why did you pause LNG exports to Europe? Like, I don't understand, liquefied natural gas is in great demand by our allies. Why would you do that? Because you understand, we just talked about Ukraine. You understand you're fueling Vladimir Putin's war machine because they got to get their gas from him, And he looks at me stunned with this, and he said, I didn't do that. And I said, Mr. President, yes, you did. It was an executive order, 3 weeks ago. And he goes, no, I didn't do that. And he's arguing with me. I said, Mr. President, respectfully, could I go out here and ask your secretary to print it out? We'll read it together. You definitely did that. And he goes, oh, you talk about natural gas. Yes, sir. He said, you misunderstand. He said, what I did is I signed this thing we're gonna conduct a study on the effects of LNG. I said, no, you're not, sir. You paused it. I know. I have the terminal, the export terminals in my state. I talked to those people this morning. This is doing massive damage to our economy, national security. It occurred to me, Barry, he was not lying to me. He genuinely did not know what he had signed. And I walked out of that meeting with fear and loathing because I thought, we're in serious trouble. Who is running the country? Like, I don't know who put the paper in front of him, but he didn't know.
So it begs the question. Who the fuck wrote that? That statement on the website, White House website. Who did that? I'm really curious now. Of all the executive orders, of all the bullshit that went on, what did he actually... What was he tricked into doing? If what the Speaker of the House is saying, what he is saying did happen, there is an article, he's not lying. This exchange happened. So if he genuinely, truly did not know what the fuck he signed, what did he do here with this amendment? A little food for thought, kids. Anyway, guys... That's it for today. Think about it. And I'll see you tomorrow. Like, share, subscribe. Thank you.